Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy again to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And as always, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, what a name that is. What a name that is. There's no name like it. You know that, whether it's in heaven or in earth. Matter of fact, it's that saving name. It's that name, thank God, listen, friend, that men, women, boys, and girls can call upon and find rest for their soul. It's a name, bless God, that one day every knee shall bow and confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus is the Christ. How wonderful it is. It's that name, that one name given among men under heaven whereby we must and can be saved. What a name that it is. What a lovely, lovely name that it is. Well, I greet you from the depths of my heart. Debbie and I greet you, friend. Listen, glad that you tuned in to Inspirational Truths and pray that our time together will be an inspiration to you. I pray that you'll say, man, I'm glad I turned over there and listened to that old country preacher today and that song that Debbie had to sing. We just pray. We just trust and pray that our time together will be an investment, bring glory to God, and just be a blessing to you. Debbie's got a song picked out, queued up and ready to go. The title of it is The Mystery of the Cross, one of my favorites. And she does a wonderful job on that. Hey, have you ever noticed how biblical her songs are? Do you ever notice how anointed they are? Well, appreciate my love. Hey, I'll meet you back in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 in just a couple of minutes.
He stood there before Pilate, this king of the Jews. People crying out, crucify. They brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him, but I'll deliver one to you, but one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown?
Give up.
to bleed and die for me. I will never understand it, though this King has set me free. It's all such a great mystery. It's all such a great mystery.
Oh, how true, Debbie, how true. My, there's so many things about what God has done, about what God is doing, it's way above me, friend, but I like delving into them, don't you? And that's what we're going to do today. As we look in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, one of the greatest passages of scriptures there is in the entire Word of God. And I know I say that a lot, and I mean that, friend, it is. This is an amazing verse. It's a powerful verse. It's a verse that lends itself to preaching and teaching to any man that's been called of God to declare the Word of God, regardless how young or old they are. And listen what Paul said, that seasoned sage man of God writing to a young man of God. He said, listen, Timothy, and I don't believe Paul ever got over this. I don't believe Paul ever got over this. He said, listen, Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I say praise God, praise God, praise God. Don't you? I want to talk to you a little while today. Lord willing, by the grace of God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about the mystery of godliness. My, that's kind of obvious, is it not? I'm going to tell you with no apologies, not the first time I've ever preached out of this passage and preached a message similar to this. I don't have anything before me but my Bible and the Spirit of God and you, friend. I want to share with you what God has laid on my heart about this great verse of Scripture. Paul said, and I'm going to tell you about something, Timothy. He said, look, there's no controversy about this. There's no use for anybody to criticize it, complain about it, try to dissect it, try to understand it. Paul said it's a fact. I mean, it's an incontrovertible fact. He said it's nothing that can be questioned, nothing that should be doubted. It's without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. And you say, preacher, what is the mystery of godliness? Well, let me start right here by saying this. The word mystery means something that was known only by God until God revealed it to man. It was something that was known by the eternal counsels of the Godhead in eternity past, and something that God chose by His grace and His mercy for our benefit and our good to reveal it unto man, to make it to be known, to remove the veil, if you will, and let us peer in. And he said, great is the mystery of godliness. And what do you mean godliness, preacher? Well, I don't know, friend, about the definition. Well, I can give it to you like maybe I see it in my mind and in my heart, but I believe that godliness speaks about that which God intended man to be in obedience unto Him and in the right way to live here on planet Earth. And Paul said, Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, he tells us what the mystery of godliness is, and it has to do with, thank God, it all has to do with Christ. All has to do with God's only begotten Son. All has to do with that virgin-born Son of Mary. It all has to do with that second part of the Holy Trinity. God the Son, thank God, who is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existing with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But He said this. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. Look here. God was manifest in the flesh. I don't know about you, sir. I don't know about you, ma'am, but I'll never get over the fact that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to say, verse 14 of chapter 1 of the gospel that bears His name, and the Word, now get this, hallelujah, was made manifest. All we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I'll tell you, friend, listen, God who is invisible, God who is eternal, God, Jesus said Himself, who is a Spirit, who cannot, could not, and cannot be seen by man, friend, who is invisible, the only true God and potentate. Listen, He became manifest in the flesh in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 16, and it is verse 28, and I love this verse. I'd like to preach on it sometime. Never really got the liberty yet, but my, you talking about something. 22 words. 22 words in verse 28 of chapter 16 of the book of John's Gospel. Man, it has the story of Jesus from the beginning to end. You say, how, preacher? Well, listen to it. He said, I came forth from the Father. That's the incarnation. He said, I am come into the world. That's the manifestation. He said again, I leave the world. He said, that's the crucifixion. And go to the Father. That's the ascension. I'm telling you, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus, when He was talking in the book of John chapter 14 on the night before His crucifixion, just hours before He was to go back to the Father via the crucifixion, via the laying down of His life. When He was talking to those in the upper room, He said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And who was it? Thomas or Philip said, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am. And one of them said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, all. Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Thomas? I believe He said, I'll tell you. In Him, Paul said to the Colossian church, he said, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm telling with Jesus, in the time that He walked among men in the body of flesh, when He, the very express image of God Almighty, when He was among us, listen, when He was manifesting God, declaring Himself to be God and the Son of God, and when men got upset with Him, they didn't have any reason. It's sad that they couldn't see what they could have seen, but they chose not to see it. But Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And you said, how did that happen, preacher? How do we see that? Well, let's go on and see what Paul said and see if we can't figure out that by the words that he gave his son in the Gospel, Timothy. It said he was manifest in the flesh and he was justified in the Spirit. Now look, I've got two thoughts about that. I believe, listen, Jesus was justified. I mean to tell you, that means He was vindicated. That means He was authenticated to be who He said He was and what He said He was. Do you remember over in the Old Testament when there was an uprising against Aaron being the high priest led by a man by the name of Korah? Do you remember what God did to settle the doubts that existed in the minds of all of those of the children of Israel? He had Moses to lay up Aaron's rod and 11 other rods to represent all the tribes of Israel. Aaron's rod, it represented the tribe of Levi. And after a night, bless God, the next morning when Moses got up, Aaron's rod that was left inside the tabernacle, it had bloomed and blossomed and yielded almonds. I'm telling you, listen, God said, hey, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to justify Aaron and my decision to put him in the priesthood. I'm going to vindicate him, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring life from the dead. Do you know that's what happened? I'm about to get happy now. Thank God that's what happened. One day over there in the city called Jerusalem, in a place of Israel, thank God, they buried that man Jesus after they crucified him. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Laid him, bless God, his lifeless body, and wrapped him linen clothes and a napkin about his face. But when the third and appointed morning I came, thank God, listen, he who was dead came out from among the dead, and the Spirit of God justified him in that move and in that manner and with that miracle in a way that will be undeniable for eternity. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I concerning His Son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared. He wasn't made to be. He was not made to be the Son of God by the resurrection, but He was declared to be. He was vindicated to be. He was authenticated to be, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How, preacher? By the resurrection from the dead. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen. He that was dead is alive, and He's alive forevermore. And He said, if you're in Christ, bless God if you're in Christ. Hallelujah. If I live, ye can live also. How wonderful this is. But let me say something else. He was not only justified in the Spirit, bless God, by His resurrection, but let me give you a verse out of John's Gospel chapter 6, and then I'll give you one out of the book of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 6 of the book of John's Gospel. It says this in the latter part of verse 27. He says, for Him have God the Father sealed. You say, how did He do that, preacher? Well, He did it by the miracles that He performed. Oh, listen, there was a night. There was a day when Jesus was asleep in a boat, and there was a great storm came up on that Galilean sea. It was so violent the apostles thought they were going under, and they awakened Jesus and said, carest not thou that we perish? He stood up from his sleep, stood on the bow of that little boat, and said, peace be still. And immediately there was a great calm. You know what the result of that was? My, listen. You know what the result of that great miracle was? I mean, they were astonished. Do you hear me? The men that He had chosen were astonished, and they asked this. They asked, what manner of man is this? Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you, bless God, He was more than a man. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man appointed of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. I'm telling you, friend, through the miracles that Jesus did, through the opening of the blind eyes, the unstopping of deaf ears, the straightening of withered hands, the feeding of 5,000, the walking on the water, and many other things, thank God, that He did like no man could do. They realized that through the witness of the Spirit of Almighty God, that this was God manifest in the flesh. But it doesn't stop right there, thank God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels. I want you to know, hallelujah, the angels, bless God, listen. They watched Him from beginning to end. Do you know that? They're still watching Him, I believe, according to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. All eyes are on the Lamb. What do you think? I need to preach that text sometime. Thank God. Jesus, when He came into this world, His birth was announced, bless God, to shepherd by angels. Hey, I'm telling you, He walked the roads of Galilee as He walked the hills of Judea. Whether He'd been baptized by John in the Jordan or transfigured, bless God, by the power of God on Mount Hermon. Whether He was in the Garden of Gethsemane by Himself, agonizing before God, or whether He was suspended between the heaven and the earth, dying for lost humanity, or even when He was lying in the tomb, bless God, before His body was brought back to life, angels were attending unto Him. Oh, He was seen of angels. Look, they don't understand what you and I understand. They don't know the love of God like you and I that are sinners who have been saved by grace do. They don't know what the grace of God is like sinners like you and I who have been saved by the grace of God. But they look on. They look on with bated breath. They stand, I believe, at times on tiptoes. And they saw Him, bless God, when He came out of the womb. They saw Him on a Calvary, Calvary's cross. They saw Him when He came out victorious out of the tomb. They saw Him ascended. They received Him in glory. They see Him on the throne, mediating between God and man. And they beheld Him. They listen, they see Him. And all He was preached to the Gentile. You say, it was a Gentile preacher, everybody that's not a Jew. Hey, He's preached, bless God, as the Son of God who became the Son of Man so the sons of men might become the sons of God. He was preached and still is being preached, thank the Lord, to men like me and you, sinners who need to be saved, sinners who otherwise will be lost and doomed and damned for eternity, except we say yes to the gospel. I mean to tell you, He's the message of good news to the poor, the pauper, to the rich, to the well-known, to the unknown, to the educated, the uneducated, whether it be here or there. Hey, the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. That good news that come from a far country is still like cool water to a thirsty soul. And you, sir, you, ma'am, I bring you good news. I bring you the message of salvation by grace through faith. I bring you the message of deliverance from sin, from its power, from its penalty, and one day by the grace of God, from its presence. I preach to you, listen, you can be saved if you choose to be. You can be saved if you just simply deposit the faith that's in your heart into Jesus Christ and the work that He's done at Calvary. Listen, getting to heaven is not done by doing good deeds, not by joining a church, not by being baptized, not by paying tithes, not being good, not being this or that, but it's by being born again. I saw a sign on a woman's van the other day that kind of broke my heart, actually. She had a sign that said, my first birth is good enough. I thought, oh lady, how wrong you are, how ignorant you are, how sad I am for you. I had to be closed up to the message, thank God, of salvation by grace through faith. And He said it was preached unto the Gentiles, and here it is, believed on in the world. You say, what I got to do to be saved, preacher? Well, you got to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You got to realize that you're a sinner and be willing to repent of your sin and just simply trust Christ. Cast yourself on Him. I mean, commit yourself to Him. Go to Him and show God like the publican did when he and the Pharisee came down to the temple one day. The publican stopped afar off, smote himself on the breast and said, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm telling you, if you ask God to be merciful to you, He'll do it. Jesus Christ is not only the propitiator, but He's the propitiation. And you say, I don't understand that, preacher. Well, listen, here's why I said it. Bless God, He's the place of mercy. You can find grace in Him. And you say, what's that mean? Well, if you go to Him for mercy, you'll not receive what you deserve. And if you go and ask Him for grace, He'll give you what you didn't deserve. Isn't that something? Oh, look, friend, He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. I mean, He'll just birth you from above. Thank God, listen, He was believed on into this world. That's how you got to get to the next, saved and safe. Is by believing in Christ Jesus. You don't have to understand Him. You don't have to explain Him. All you got to do is believe that He was the Son of God and that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And look at what Paul said finally. And all these demand more time and exhortation that I've been able to give them today. He was received up in the glory. Hallelujah. What a day that was. When the 120 had gathered with Jesus and watched Him, bless God, with bugged out eyes, watching Him overcome the power of gravity, watching a cloud receive Him out of His sight, watch Him pass to a place where He was received into the glory of eternity, where the angels saw Him take His seat on the right hand of the Father, where He began as a man. And I could shout right there, bless God, the walls of this study down, where we have a man in glory, there He sits making intercession for you and I, and He says, all that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why don't you call on Him, sir? Why don't you call on Him, ma'am? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus can save you. Great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and it was manifest so you and I could know God. You and I could come to God. You and I could have our relationship fixed up with God. God could take care of your sins. God could make you whole and new again. And if you go to Him right now, repent and say, God, I'm sorry of sin, and right now confess that I need Christ as my Savior. You save me, Lord, and I'll live for You. And you know what? Thank God. Listen, He'll save you. Don't forget, friend, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.